This is Insight in its 15th year on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. The podcast Dissect is now a full-time project for its host and creator, Cole Kushna, and Cole is in partnership with Spotify. In seasons 1 through 3, he examined the music of Kendrick Lamar, Kanye West, and Frank Ocean. He also produced a shortened series to celebrate the 20th anniversary of Lauryn Hill's The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. Cole's been featured in The Atlantic, The New York Times, and Forbes, and in every season, he's been featured here on Insight. Season 4 of Dissect featured Tyler, the Creator, and his album, Flower Boy.
I think its presence just never left me, and it didn't leave a lot of people either. You know, I always try to give the album a little bit of breathing time since, you know, from the point of release. And at that point, when people were requesting it, it had just come out, and I was like, well, let's give it a little bit of time. And the album never left me, never left the fans, and so it just seemed like a natural choice for season 4.
How much do you know about an album before you decide to dive in and dissect it?
Mostly I just know if I like it or not. And, you know, I'll do some preliminary research just to make sure that it has enough, like, thematic meat to kind of, you know, undergo an 8-hour scrutiny of analysis. But I really love the real-time unpacking and discovering myself, because I feel like some of that energy ends up into the show, where if I'm excited about a discovery, then it's going to translate to the show and to the listeners.
We're going to hear a few clips, but I think we should set up who Tyler, the Creator, is as a person and a personality before diving into his music. And in some cases, it's hard to understand all of his lyrics. So give us some context.
Yeah, sure. So I guess Flower Boy in general was a really big turning point for Tyler, the Creator. He came out when he was 17. He got famous really fast, and he was pretty controversial in his first couple of years. He was young and likes to push people's buttons, as young people do. And so a lot of that kind of punk rock kind of attitude ended up in his music and his lyrics. And so he got this reputation early on for being this, like, provocateur and just kind of this rascal. And then with this album, he really showed a maturity, and it was a maturity that everyone kind of knew was there, because he was always extremely talented, despite his antics. And this, for the first time, really showcased his talent to its full potential. And also, the subject matter really kind of explains some of his antics before. So I think we're going to start with Forward, I believe, which is the album's first song. And this really sets up the underlying themes of the entire album.
How many cars can I buy till I run out of drive? How much drive can I have until I run out of road? How much road can they pave until I run out of land? How much land can it be until I run in the ocean and go with the motions and all the plans? See, I was never into the beaches and all the sands. See, I was in the woods with flowers, rainbows, and posies falling out of my pocket. But y'all wanna know if I swam to cool down? How much cooler can I get until I run out of fans? How many fans can I have until they turn on the AC? If the AC blow, well, then I'm TNT. I'm gone.
I'm gone and I'm finished. And I ain't see my friends in a minute.
Where do you begin? With lyrics? With a beat?
I usually begin with the music. And this one's pretty straightforward. Most of the music relies on a sample from a German band called Can. But for this particular song, it's really the lyrics that are going to take most of the analysis on the episode. Because the song's titled Forward, which is, if you think about the album like a book, which it has a very compelling story arc, a very deliberate story arc, Forward, as in a forward in a book, is kind of this preface, and it lays out the main themes of the album. And for this song, he starts out with, how many cars can I buy till I run out of drive? The narrative of the album is a car ride at sunset. It's kind of this metaphor for him being directionless, and he's just going on this drive, not really know where he's going in life. He also mentions the ocean, which the sports car and the ocean are these two reoccurring symbols that he's going to elaborate on throughout the entire album. And he says them right here in the first 4 lines of the album. So, you know, it's very deliberate, very thought out, the way that he lays out this album. And it's very beautiful how he does this.
If that felt layered and deep, he goes even deeper.
Yeah.
And that leads us into the next track that we're going to listen to. You're going to have to explain to everyone the phrase he's saying, because I didn't get it when I first listened to it.
Yeah, so the song is called Garden Shed. And so one thing that I should set up before we listen, Tyler was once accused of homophobia in his early career. mostly because he used homophobic slurs in his lyrics. On this album, he comes out as being gay. Going along with this nature symbolism, Garden Shed is akin to being in the closet. It's essentially an outdoor closet. So it ties into this nature kind of thematic material that he's developing. And this is the centerpiece of the entire album. It's track 7 of 14. This is the moment that he comes out of the closet. And he's, you know, you're going to hear him say Garden Shed, Garden Shed, Garden Shed. And then you're going to hear him kind of telling his story about his sexuality.
I was hiding, that was real love I was in. Ain't no reason to pretend. Garden shit, garden shit, garden shit, garden shit for the ghost songs and feelings that I was guarding. Heavy on my mind, all my friends lost. They couldn't read the signs, I didn't want to talk. I tell them my location and I ain't want to walk. Truth is, since a youth kid, thought it was a phase, thought it'd be like the freight poof. Gone, but it's still going on. Big fan of the bass 10, polka dot knows how it goes. Had to keep it on the subwoofer. Couple butterflies wanna float. I was always like, man, really interested, but I badged the brat to my boys like, bruh. This is crucial subject matter, sensitive like cooking batter. To the temperature that's rising, stepping on that ladder, trying to grab the rings of Saturn. I'ma plan it by the time you hear this shit and chatter about the heat it, it will not matter.
Say more about what he does with this.
Yeah, so there's a lot to unpack. What's beautiful about this moment is that there's a 2.5 minute introduction before he even says a word. And it's kind of this sonic representation of his hesitancy to express this. There's a lot of false starts in the song. And so when this moment, when he starts to say Garden Shed, I mean, I get chills every time I hear it because it's really the pinnacle of his story. This is him, it's coming out publicly because it's published as art that people are going to hear, but it's really the moment in the album and in the narrative where he's coming out to himself. He's accepting this about himself. And the interesting thing, again, is that it's track 7 of 14, so you would think it's the end of the story, but it's actually a new beginning, because now he's going to work his way towards telling how he feels to someone else. So the rest of the album is him building up the courage to tell this person that he is attracted to, a male, that he's attracted to them. So the album actually ends with that moment. So you get this kind of dual conclusion, one where he comes out to himself, acknowledges this about himself, and then the actual conclusion, track 14, is him expressing how he feels to someone else.
I never been the darkest one, cause my self-esteem was tall, so I never seen eye to eye with y'all. Ayo, ayo, uno, peso. Never pay attention to intention to sale, so I keep that buck. I ain't getting thing build me up, so I block them like Lego. Feeling glitter, feeling good and great. Got the burner, got the heat like weight. Got the solid, it's all up on that hit. I use it on myself the day you dip. Got that 4, 5, 7 track in for me. Baby dog, I hope you agree. Beat, cause you like my flowers. Yeah,
I feel like.
This is one side of ya, I can't lie, we ain't gon' work out. We a fat boy, yeah, sumo, got a memo. Pale skin, see through, must be a window. Cause you in an L, could be a DJ. When I see you, my heart beat change tempo. Yeah, simple, that's what I want, but I can't. That's who you are, but I ain't. You get tracked to skip trace. Call me quick, say wait, please don't save me. Please don't save me.
How you feel, how you feel? How you feel?
I have learned through you, Cole, to listen to the different levels that are happening, the music level with the lyric level, enough so that then you can just let go and feel it. And because of that, if something is truly authentic and comes from a very deep place, it just rises right up. And I feel it in that track. I am witnessing you feel it, and you've had to have listened to that track
many times.
many times. And I think that's another sign of it is, does it stay true every time you hear it?
Yeah. And I think that's the power of great art. You know, there can be a popular song that reaches number one, you know, and it might be gone in 3-4 months. But music like this, and I try to choose these albums deliberately. And again, that's why I like to let it rest since its release date, just to make sure it has that resonance. But true art, great art is going to, it's timeless. And again, just like you said, you feel it every time. And if you're feeling it every time, it's working on us on a level that we really don't understand. And that's what I try to unpack on the show is like, why do these songs resonate? Why do these albums stay with us when, you know, 9 times out of 10 music comes and goes? And that's really what my show is about, is really learning from these artifacts, these like historical things that in 100 years time are going to represent who we are today.
That was an hour of Cole Kushna and his podcast, Dissect. You can find Dissect wherever you get your podcasts, and we look forward to more conversations with Cole on Insight. That's Insight for today. I'm Beth Ruriak. Insight is produced by Cody Drabble and Kate Gonzalez. Our digital team is Chris Hagen, Casey Gardner, and Emily Zentner. We had help from Helen Barrington and Antonio Munez. Our technical director is Mark Jones. Insight's executive producer is Joe Barr. Thanks for joining us.